This is tape number 2 of the booklet, How to Have a Happy Marriage.
A person of service. More than one man has browbeat his wife with Proverbs 31:15. Get up, woman, he slurs sleepily. Why can't you rise up like that Proverbs 31 woman? Certainly, Proverbs 31 shows a diligent wife responding to the needs of her household. She does rise early, and she does have everything ready to make the beginning of the day enjoyable for everyone, including the live-in help her husband has provided. It seems many men feel the woman should be up early in the morning getting all the chores done, in addition to providing the nourishing breakfast the family needs for a proper start. Monetary wealth did not go to this woman's head. She had not become lazy merely because maidens had been provided. In fact, she felt a responsibility to everyone in the household, including the hired help. But part of her responsibilities must have included outlining duties and projects for her maidens throughout the day. She was responsible for the household organization. There is yet another hint of the family's financial stability in verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Garments of substantial quality are here depicted. The children were not in tattered rags. This family had no fear of the bitter colds of winter. The Proverbs 31 woman purchased quality garments or made them with her own hands. Throughout this inspiring chapter, we find that this superwoman is constantly a person of service. Notice verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is a woman of accomplishment. Her family is provided with the finest quality clothing and food. She has maid servants. She also has time available, and she uses her time to the best possible advantage, not whiling away countless hours glued to a television screen, keeping up with the latest intrigue and drama of soap operas. And she spends much of her time in service. You see, she and her husband have both developed their potentials to help and serve in addition to taking care of their own family's needs. Mutual trust and respect. One of the most vital elements in a successful marriage is trust and respect. The Proverbs 31 husband, please note it, totally trusts his wife. How many women today have received the respect and trust they deserve? Greed, jealousy, mistrust, and a host of wrong emotions dominate many marriages. How does the Proverbs 31 husband regard his wife in this area? Read it in verses 11 and 12. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Trust and respect are a two-way street. The wife's conduct certainly must be worthy of respect, but it is the husband who must give the trust. And how about a word of praise now and then? One of the Proverbs states, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Proverbs 25:11. How is this for a word fitly spoken? Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. How about it, husbands? When was the last time you said, honey, that was a super job? When was the last time you complimented your wife on a well-cooked meal, or a clean and neat house, or the extra time she spent helping a sick neighbor? Unfortunately, most of the time, the good deeds and hard work go unnoticed, certainly uncomplimented. You men would like a Proverbs 31 wife? Then, first, you be a Proverbs 31 husband. Trust, respect, and praise for your wife. These are important qualities of the Proverbs 31 husband. Chapter 9. What to do when your mate will not. Have you ever thought about leaving your mate because he or she refuses to fulfill his or her part of the marriage? What is a person supposed to do when a mate will not? The answer is simple and effective. You do when your mate will not. Why divorce? Divorce destroys life. It reaches in and tears apart the very heart and soul of a family. Some people, in the depths of the pain and suffering of an unhappy marriage, naturally feel it is better to break up rather than to continue living in misery. Although it may seem like the quick and easy way out of problems, it is the beginning of a whole new set of problems. Two generations ago, divorce was a disgrace. Now it is a statistical race. Of course, couples once stayed together and endured the pain and difficulties that accompany a bad marriage. Through good times and bad times, they tried to stay together. to raise their children together, and in spite of the many hurts and tears, to hope for a marriage that would take them through the golden years to the twilight of their lives. It often enough didn't work, and there were reasons. Today, people have very little tolerance for pain and suffering in marriage. At the least little problem, the threat of divorce is wheeled out. Our society has made divorce an easy option, a parachute out of marital problems. But is divorce really that parachute? Think about the children. What a pity that grown-ups often fail to consider the children. The children of a divorced couple go through pain, emotional, mental, and even physical pain. Parents, when you are more than one, are the child's whole world. When you break up, you are breaking up the world of your child. You are shattering your child's emotional security. The child feels abandoned, frightened, and insecure about the future. A child's loyalty is torn between two parents who think they love that child very much. You need to think about the hurt you inflict upon your children in your quest to get out of the hurt you feel in your marriage. Is your happiness more important than that of your children? After all, they did not make you get married. They did not ask to be born. But now they are asking you to give them a whole family to grow up in. And it is still in your power to give them the whole family they desire and need. Children are half of you and half of your mate, and they need both of you to reach their full potential. Fractured families produce fractured children. Alone after a divorce, you cannot give them what they need. You cannot be both father and mother. Now you may be thinking, isn't it better for my children to live with me in peace than with both of us in war? That's not necessarily so. Research now shows that, except in cases of extreme child abuse, children are better off in a home of discord where both parents live than in a divorced home with one parent. According to Dr. Archibald Hart, a clinical psychologist and author of the book Children of Divorce, less than 10% of children surveyed felt that the divorce of their parents helped their lives. In fact, it generally made it worse. Now, you may not have children to think about, so will divorce make your life happier? Probably not. Why not? Because you may be half of the problem, and you cannot divorce yourself from yourself. Think about that one for a while. You still must live with yourself. Divorce can exact a great and long-lasting emotional and physical toll. Those who divorce are experiencing higher rates of mental disorders, heart disease, cancer, high blood pressure, and cirrhosis of the liver than those who tough it out. But why even tough it out when there is still a better solution? Why you should stay. They say it takes two to make a marriage, but we say it takes only one to save a marriage. If you stay, the chances are great that you can save your marriage in spite of what your mate does or does not do. Two wrongs do not make a right, but one right can make a marriage. Let us get some marriage counseling from the Apostle Paul. If any brother has a wife who does not believe and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. 1 Corinthians 7:12, New King James. Why? For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Verse 14. Even the children, Paul says in the same verse, are benefited when one mate is striving to live rightly. The mate who is striving to do what is right has a special influence over the mate. How? By his or her positive actions. If you do what is right in marriage, it influences your mate positively. It is possible for God to use your example to turn your mate around. But if you leave, there is no hope. So stay and let the power of your example turn your marriage around. The Apostle Peter said that, even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, or husbands, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2. You can turn that lemon into the sweetest lemonade you ever tasted. As frustrated and hopeless as you may feel right now, with the help of God, your marriage can be happier than you dreamed possible. Make a commitment. Commitment is the foundation of a successful marriage. Even though your mate may not be as committed as you are, your commitment is needed to power you through the difficult times. Times when you will not feel like doing because your mate will not do. Times when everything you do is interpreted by your mate as being wrong, when with all your heart you are trying to please. Commitments are made on your knees before God. He will give the power to do when your mate will not. Go to God. Talk to Him. Make a commitment to Him that you will stay with your marriage, to work with your marriage until you achieve success. This commitment will motivate you and give you a positive frame of mind. You know where you're going, and you have the confidence of knowing that God is for you. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. The next thing you need to do is face the reality of marriage. Come out of the fantasy world of Hollywood romance. Come into the real world of marriage, where real people, through hard work and perseverance, build real marriages that last. Be realistic about marriage. Marriage was not intended to be like a bowl of peaches and cream, but like a bed of roses. I am talking about a real bed of roses. You know, the kind with beautiful, sweet-smelling flowers and sharp, painful thorns. Marriage was meant to have anniversaries and adversities, for it is through overcoming adversities that we grow and learn. Look at marriage as an institution of higher learning whose founder and chancellor is Almighty God. When He brought the first couple into His institution, He gave them the goal to achieve total oneness through learning from each other and a lot of hard work, Genesis 2, verses 24 and 25. In the process, through the curriculum of marriage, they, and others since, learn many lessons and have many tests to develop individual and collective character. Each anniversary marks a graduation from one level of growth to another, from one level of challenge and difficulty to the next. The goal of God's institution of marriage is to teach husbands and wives the supreme lesson of the universe, oneness through selflessness. Love is the secret of true happiness, and marriage is the foremost place to learn it. The deeper you learn that supreme lesson of giving, yes, even the hard part of giving when your mate will not, the more you will grow and the happier you will be. Happiness is. Your happiness is not dependent on what your mate or anyone else does or does not do. It is dependent on what you do. Love is giving, and giving, what you do, produces happiness. Jesus Christ said, "It is more blessed, happy, to give than to receive," Acts 20:35. So take charge of your happiness by giving love instead of looking to get and becoming unhappy when your mate does not give it to you. When you give, you control your own happiness. You can become as happy as you're willing to give. Don't try it. Do it. It works. Happiness is you fulfilling your role. Husbands, you were created to lead the family, being provider, protector, chief server, and lover. You were designed to dedicate your life to your wife. This is why the Apostle Paul said, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." Ephesians 5:25. When you love, you become very, very happy. Your wife may not even appreciate your loving leadership, but you still will be happy because you are doing what God created you to do. You were made to lovingly lead a woman, and when you do it with God's way of giving and seeking her best interest, you will be fulfilled and happy. So what do you do when your wife will not? You do. You do yourself a favor. You fulfill your role. Love your wife. Women, God designed you to function in a role that produces happiness. When God made the woman, He said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Genesis 2:18. God created your mind to be responsive to your husband, to willingly surrender yourself to him. Ephesians 5:22. Now that is not easy for you to do, especially if your husband is not a loving leader. But the beauty of God's way is that your happiness depends on what you do. If you fulfill your role in love to your husband, helping him, responding positively to him, submitting and surrendering to him, you will make yourself very happy. Accept each other. You could be making your own self frustrated and unhappy. How? By trying to make your mate over into your image, and that is impossible. A long time ago, even before you married, you formed a fanciful idea about what you wanted your mate to be like. Maybe you still have expectations that your mate will someday fulfill your dreams. Forget it. It will not happen. Your unrealistic expectations will only produce frustrations in your marriage. Expecting your mate to be what you want is selfishness, and selfishness always leads to unhappiness. Think about this. You are probably not what your mate always dreamed of either. So stop putting this unnecessary pressure on yourself or on your mate. Accept your mate the way he or she is, the good and the bad. How do you do that? Accept your mate by concentrating on the good points. There is something of quality about everybody. You were able to see those good points before you married. Well, they are still there. All you have to do is look beyond yourself and you will see them. Actively praise your mate for the good points. Build your mate up in the eyes of others, and he or she will grow in esteem in your own eyes. This kind of affirmative action will make your mate feel good and make you feel good. Do good for evil. But what do you do when your mate does you wrong? What do you do when that fight back response wells up inside you? You must do something because you're about to explode. But what do you do? Do what Jesus Christ said to do. Love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Matthew 5:44. When you do it out of an attitude of genuine love, it works miracles. What are those miracles? First of all, you help yourself get rid of the stress and frustration. Love is the greatest stress releaser there is in human conflict. Giving good for evil transforms your negative energy into positive energy. It makes you feel good in spite of the abuse you may be receiving. Doing good for evil gives you a shot of happy medicine that is able to cure your marital blues. You will not need sedatives and tranquilizers. When your mate rails against you with harsh words, still the troubled waters by saying soft and pleasant things. And let us add, saying it at the right time is also important. Sometimes doing good is saying nothing while your mate is angry. In these situations, it is best to let any anger be vented before you say a word. Later, when the atmosphere has cooled down, you can say the pleasant and sweet words that produce peace. If you do this, you will be amazed at how a soft answer turns away wrath. Proverbs 15:1. This miracle even has the power to transform your mate's whole approach toward you. He or she may be accustomed to having you argue and fight back. By changing the way you react, you begin to change the way your mate acts toward you. Doing good for evil will help your mate realize that it is a new ball game. A husband will have to change the way he pitches because the wife is not hitting back anymore. So why should he continue to pitch when nobody is hitting? Why should he continue to fight when there is nobody to fight with? It gets boring fighting with yourself. By doing good for evil, you control how the game is played and how your marriage is lived. In the past, when you did evil for evil, it was harder for your mate to see his or her wrong because you blinded your mate by your wrong. Feeling the sting of your response, your mate felt justified in reacting. The Apostle Peter observed this phenomenon when he wrote, "Likewise, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear." 1 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2. There is power in a good example. And do not forget the positive effect your doing good for evil will have on your children. By your good example, you are building a proper way of give in them. You are doing what they will need to be doing later. You are teaching them how to get along with people. The only way that leads to real peace. Now you may be thinking, how do I know all of this will work in my marriage? What if I do all of this and my mate just uses it to take advantage of me? You are forgetting about one very important person who has unique ways of helping you like nobody else can. God can equalize the situation if you have Him working for you. Remember this, that no matter what your mate does or does not do, your happiness depends on what you do, how much you give. It is based on God's supernatural law of love, and Almighty God stands in back of it and guarantees it. It works. You may feel that it is unfair for you to do good while your mate gets away with evil. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Galatians 6:7. Nobody gets away with anything. God is the great equalizer. He settles all accounts and for the good of all concerned. This is why Paul advised, Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Romans 12:19. So ask God for the patience and perseverance to continue doing when your mate will not. Yes, do your whole family a favor. Do.
This completes the reading of the booklet, How to Have a Happy Marriage. Your reader has been Garland Snuffer.